It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, why we still love Lucy, the hominid fossil that shook up the way we think about human origins.
First, we're celebrating Women's History Month, which takes place every year during the month of March.
Our next guest says the field of home economics was instrumental in getting women involved in higher education and public life. She's here to explain how such a seemingly retro field advanced women's rights and how a three-decade-long public radio show here in Wisconsin fit into the bigger picture.
Erica Janik is a historian and author of several books and the executive producer of Wisconsin Life. Her latest book is called Marketplace of the Marvelous. Erica, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So when we think of home economics, sometimes we think of, you know, sort of an old school idea, people in the kitchen trying to make a science of home economics, which it is. But this is also, it has strong ties to women's history and in a certain sense, the women's movement. How did that play out?
Absolutely. I think the common image of home economics, you know, you think about people caring for, you know, an egg as though it were their baby or a flour sack baby. But home economics actually has a pretty progressive past. In the 19th century, there were a lot of different forces that were at work that kind of led to the creation of home economics. But part of it was kind of applying science to the home to make women's lives easier and more efficient. And there were a number of different kind of competing interests among people that were looking into home economics and were interested in making it an academic field. Were they really just trying to make women better housemakers? Were they actually trying to provide higher educational opportunities for women? Or were they trying to make women's lives easier so that hopefully they'd have time for something else in their life besides just caring for their families and cleaning up the house? And so all of these interests are kind of at play in the formation of home economics. And it was really a field that was designed by women for women and gave women real educational opportunities that were before then not really available to them.
I mean, a piece you wrote, you talk about what was going on here in Wisconsin at universities and colleges and on the air. Can you tell us a little bit about the Homemakers Program?
Yeah, so WHA, what we now know as
our
Wisconsin
ancestor,
Public.
Yep.
That's right. So they had a program called the Homemakers Program. And it really began in about 1929. There had been a number of kind of farm and home programs throughout the 1920s. But in 1929, they decided to do a kind of dedicated program for women. And radios were becoming very popular, very widespread. Lots of people had them. You know, people didn't have maybe other forms of technology, but radios were something that people were willing to invest in. And with women home during the day, you know, taking care of things around the house, women seem like a natural audience for radio programs. And so they created the Homemakers Program. And for the first couple years, there were just kind of some students and faculty from the UW Home Economics Program who would be on the air. But then in 1933, they actually hired a permanent host, and her name was Aileen Hazard. And she had grown up on a farm in Iowa, and she was chosen to be the main voice of this program. And she really became its guiding force for more than 30 years. And this program was on 6 days a week for an hour every single day. By the time she retired, she actually had done 10,000 shows.
I mean, wow.
That's incredible. And she did all kinds of really innovative things on the air because she was really just trying to reach women all over the state. They were really trying to get home economics to people. You know, you didn't have to go to the university to learn how to make your home life more efficient.
And it sounds like here in Wisconsin, there were some pretty major advances in the field of home economics, including the concept of the triangle in the kitchen, how to maximize your efficiency.
So there were all kinds of people, home economists, that were doing all kinds of studies of efficiency and how to make, you know, how to make your kitchen work better for you. And so home economists here in Wisconsin were studying that. They were studying that actually all over the country. You find people doing kind of motion studies. I don't know if you ever read the book Cheaper by the Dozen. It was one of my favorite books when I was a kid. But, you know, it's about 12 kids. But the parents actually were very famous, Frank and Lillian Gelbreth. They were very famous for doing all kinds of motion studies. And the book is kind of, you know, how they applied these efficiency lessons to their children. But she would do all kinds of things. The mother in that of, you know, watching a woman make dinner and count how many steps she was taking between, you know, the icebox to the stove and then to the table. And then they were moving appliances around and, you know, really just trying to figure out how to save women time and energy because, you know, housework was a lot of work. And, you know, they really wanted women to be able to kind of take a break. And there were kind of different ideas of what women could actually do with that free time. You know, some people said, you know, they'll have their free time and then they can just devote more time to their husbands and children. And other people said, you know, with all of that free time, they'll actually be able to, you know, take some time for themselves. But in all these cases, it was all about kind of bringing technology to women.
So how did all this play out on the Homemakers program in those 10,000 hours? What kind of questions were they answering on this show?
All kinds of things. You know, Aileen Hazard really saw that homemaker as doing everything around the house. This wasn't the only homemaking program in the country. You find homemaking programs all over the place, but they were really popular in the Midwest because we had a largely rural population. And some of these other programs were very specific, like there would be a sewing program or there would be a program about house cleaning. But she really covered everything from how to make tea, how to serve it, you know, how to make clothes, child rearing. She would bring in all kinds of experts from the university. She would do one-on-one interviews. She would have round tables. There's all kinds of pictures of her, you know, sitting at a big table with like six different people at mics.
Wow.
And they're all having a conversation about some home topic. And then one of the other really innovative things that she did is she actually went out in the field. She called them on the spots. And in 1935, I think, is the first year, she actually went to visit a Madison woman in her garden. And she was taking the microphone and walking around the garden and giving her listeners a tour of the garden on the spot. And she ends up doing this many, many times over the years. She goes to people's workplaces and learns, you know, how you make cheese, how they do maple syrup. During World War II, when more women were actually in the workplace, she went to all of these different places around Madison and talked to women about what it was like to do their job and how they managed to, you know, work this job as well as raise their family and cook food and keep their house clean. She was really looking at that idea of kind of work and family balance.
Oh, sounds like she was really ahead of her time, but also really creative too, because she used different techniques to get at this material. And some of this was dramas, right?
That's right. Soap operas were really one of the most popular forms of entertainment, particularly on the radio in the 1930s. And so the Homemakers program, you know, kind of seeing the trends that were going on, decided that they would convey some of their information in the form of a soap opera. And she actually had a family, the Stevens family. And, you know, there was a brother and a sister and a fiance, and they had varying levels of home skills. And so she would create all of these radio dramas, she and along with some of the students in the home economics department, and they would act them out. And one of my favorites has to do with frozen peas. They are talking about how, you know, frozen food is new and people don't really know, should we use this? You know, it sounds kind of silly today, like so many of us use frozen food and are not afraid of it. But it really was kind of a new thing and people didn't understand, you know, was this healthy? How did you even use it? And so she created a drama where the daughter who has grown up with a mother who is very skilled in homemaking, and then her brother and his fiance, she's not so sure about how this works. And so they're kind of walking her through the steps of how you do it. And, you know, it's a little bit hokey, as you might imagine a soap opera being, particularly on the radio. It's a little hammy, you know. They're like, these peas sure are good. There's lots of things like that. But they're very fun. And they did them for many years about all different kinds of topics because they were really trying to make new technology, new innovations seem familiar and you know, make sure that people weren't afraid to try them.
Erica, thanks so much for joining us. That was Erica Janik, historian, author of several books, and executive producer of Wisconsin Life. Her latest book is called Marketplace of the Marvelous, The Strange Origins of Modern Medicine.